is Elliot Friedman, the man who does not follow either of us on social media. How's it going?
Do I not follow you, Sat?
No.
I had to search. Well, yeah. Oh.
Maybe you guys should start saying stuff that's interesting.
I had to search today, and I'm like, I bet he follows Sat.
And then he went and checked. I wasn't even sure. Walker checked today. He's like, he doesn't follow either of us. I'm like, well, I guess he doesn't like us.
He follows
no,
a couple
it's not that I don't like you. It's just you don't say anything interesting.
Follows a couple other Vancouver media members who make stuff up all the time anyway. Friedman joins us now on Sports
650. Yeah, who are those people?
I don't really want to get into naming names at this moment. Can you weigh in?
He's
on
flustered
the,
now, Elliot. Going for the kill.
I'm trying to think of something funny to say, and I don't want to get in trouble. Anyway, Austin Matthews likes rollerblading. That's all I'm seeing on social media these days. My algorithm is screwed, I'll tell you that.
I know he is. He's got a piece in the Mars Blades, right?
I don't know. Don't care.
He bought into those.
Okay. All right. That's a type of roller skates, I assume. Is it making a comeback?
You know what? Like, I don't know. What do I know about this stuff?
I don't know.
The Mars Blades are, they're a kind of roller blade, and he bought into them. He bought a share of the company. And so I'm sure that he's probably doing it as much about that as it is anything. Like, the kids are all into the big branding today.
Yeah. Well, and we were going to ask you about that. I know you had discussed this on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. We played that clip yesterday, but in terms of there's the individual side of it and the marketing side, but also from a league perspective, going down that road of revenue streams and you know, what are you okay with and what aren't you?
Well, I think this is coming now. As a matter of fact, I do believe that there are some conversations about those kinds of things going on, and maybe we'll learn about them when we get to the return to play, whenever that's going to be. But I am under the impression now that there are some things the league is looking at that are a little bit different.
And that's kind of what they have to do, right? And I like the conversation you and Jeff Merrick had on the 31 Thoughts podcast that was up the latest on Friday. And you guys are right. What the players should be asking for is, how are you going to increase revenues? Like, how are you going to ensure that these deferrals get paid sooner, perhaps, or like, you know, our revenue goes up, that we don't pay into escrow a bit more into this season? Like, those are the real things that players can push for here. The question is, how far do you think the league is willing to go? Are they willing to say, okay, slap a sponsor on a jersey, let's expand the playoffs, let's allow players to have personalized gear? How far do you think the NHL will be willing to go?
I can't answer this yet, Sat. I'm still kind of working on it. But some of the reaction I've had to that podcast leads me to believe that this stuff is really being discussed, that we are headed in that direction. One of the things I've kind of heard is, you know, for example, if there's going to be, most of these arenas aren't going to have people in them, and I don't think a lot of them are going to. I mean, there might be some places that get to have people in them, but the numbers are going up now, so we're getting a scare thrown into us again. How can we brand that? You know, in terms of user sponsors and things like that on the seats, I think that's going to be talked about some more. Mm-hmm. And I just have a sense, like, the just one call I got in particular in terms of reaction to that podcast is, there's some stuff coming here. And so, you know, yet I don't have the answers to what it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if the jersey conversation is happening.
Elliot Friedman joins us here on the program. It's Walker, it's Sat. I was thinking about this, and NHL still aiming for a January return. And it's
I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah. Well, whenever it starts, Elliot, if it's whatever, 60 games or 48 games, it's not going to be like we saw in the Edmonton-Toronto bubbles. The NHL, no matter which way you slice it, is probably not going to get as fortunate as they did with, you know, no positive tests and everyone, you know, staying in and everything like that. I look at the NFL, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. Certain situations look like they're blown up, and the Ravens and the Steelers and what we saw in Denver and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
I don't know if I feel like the NFL is doing a good job or a poor job with this, or like, hey, they're doing their best to make the best out of the situation they're given. If you're critical of it, you're always going to be critical of it. But I'm not so sure they've like blown it. Is it a model for the NHL? Is that too strong of a word?
I think that what you learn from watching it, like now that you're out of the bubbles, okay? Like, for example, today is the first day for the NBA, right? And the Golden State Warriors have already announced that they have two players who tested positive, so their on-court is being moved back a day. And I think what you learn here, the model is you better be flexible. Like,
yes.
Like, here's the thing, like, this is not a popular thing to say, but it's the truth. This is all about money, okay? This isn't about the health and welfare of everybody involved. This is about money. And, you know, the thing is, like, Andrew, like, money is important. You know, everybody says, well, your health is more important. Of course it is. Like, nobody's going to argue with that. But if you lose your business or your business gets hammered because of this, it also affects your ability to take care of your family, your mental health, your financial well-being, all that stuff. So everybody who says that money shouldn't matter or it's not important, it is important. You have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your family.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you know, so like why are these leagues playing? For those reasons. And the players have a vested interest to make sure these games get played too. Why were the Steelers mad last week? Because the deal between the league and the players and the NFL is, if that Ravens game gets forfeited, the Steelers players don't get paid either. So, like, everybody has. So when I look at this and I look what happens in the NFL, and I look at what happens in and basketball is going to go through this stuff too. I just look at it and baseball went through it. Is all you can do is be prepared for craziness. You think you've got a handle on it. We don't have a handle on it. And we don't have a handle on it just in sports. We don't have a handle on it in society. So you better be prepared. The model to me is you better be prepared for anything. Now, I have a theory here. And my theory is that we're going to punt for a couple weeks. They're not saying it, but I would be surprised. My opinion, I will be surprised if training camps begin before Christmas. I think that the way this is going and basically the cases are rising, you know, you're seeing what's happening in California. And, you know, basically, you know, that if the Sharks want to start, they're probably not going to be able to start at home. And they might have to find somewhere else to do their camp. I think we're going to end up punting this for a couple of weeks. And it's probably the right thing. And if I was in charge of both the league and the players, that's what I would do. Because you have to sort out the financial thing. And I don't know if it makes sense to even try right now. I really don't.
As far as the protocols go, you're right. I mean, right now, it's so hard to figure this stuff out, especially in Canada, too. And I know it's not about traveling, but promise to promise, like, there are still issues you have to kind of figure out. I know the league talks about perhaps having a shorter training camp to get going, but by the time they figure out that they're, you know, they're putting a start date together, getting those protocols in place and going through the early parts, like I said, the flexibility part, it just seems very unlikely, Elliot, that training camps would even start in December. Like, doesn't it not look like, hey, maybe January 1st will be training camp, and then you aim for a February 1 start date? I know you don't want to give that much time for it, but to give yourself that flexibility, could we be staring at something in the new year as opposed to right before?
It's possible. Like I said after Christmas. So what's after Christmas? That's my guess. So is it the 26th? Probably not, because you're not asking everybody to travel on the 25th. So it's probably a day or two after that. Maybe it's January 1st. Some people are going to have to go through a quarantine. I do think they're working on the protocols right now. Like, I do think they're hammering away at those. My guess is they have a pretty good idea of what it's going to be. And I think the other thing is that You know, if you look at what the NBA did, I'm sure the NHL ones won't be too much different. Like the NBA ones are, if you test positive, you're out 12 days. You know, like, is the NHL's going to be much different? Mm-hmm. Maybe a day or two, but I doubt it. I mean, I could be totally wrong about this. This is just me talking, you know, out of my butt. But, you know, generally these things are pretty similar. You know, I thought one thing that's really interesting is there was a report in the New York Times yesterday, and there's and one in the Wall Street Journal today, that maybe you don't have to be out 14 days if you have an exposure. Maybe it's closer to 10. And I know that the league and the Players Association were aware of that, because I sent it to someone and someone told me about that. And so, you know, like, I think that all of these protocols are being worked on now. I mean, what changes government-wise between now and then, who knows? Like, the one mm-hmm. thing, though, Sat, I don't understand is, if you're going to start camps January 1st, and you're not going to start your season until February 1st, you're going to have a 30-day training camp? Like, I don't see it. I don't. Now, I know some teams are supposed to get extra time, the seven teams that didn't make the playoffs. And if we're starting February 1st, maybe you can do that. But I'm hearing like two exhibition games, three max. It's like, what are you going to do for the other 27 days?
Right. Well, it would just be to give yourself that flexibility, right? More than anything. But what I find interesting, though, Ellie, the biggest part about all this is...
Yeah.
Right. Because when the bubble thing happened, I don't think the NBA nor the NHL assumed they would go through that entire experience when games got real with zero positive tests. I mean, they were super happy that happened. They were hopeful.
Yeah.
But there was the language was they were preparing us early on to say, hey, if we have a positive test, that doesn't mean we're going to stop. We have to probably prepare ourselves, whether you're a fan or part of the media, that we're going to start seeing positive tests, just like the NFL, maybe not to the same extent, but we're going to start seeing a lot of games where it's like 2 days before a game, X player on this Canadian team tested positive. He won't be available. They're still going to play the game. That's probably a reality that we're going to be facing here coming up in the season, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. And that's why I think some of these teams are going to be carrying. That's why I think teams are going to be carrying taxi squads. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that in the three teams probably affected the most are you, Calgary, and Edmonton. And that's why you're going to have extra players. I don't know how big the taxi squads are going to be, but you're going to have them. I mean, I'm told that's being worked on. So, you know, that's one of the ways they're going to do this is you're going to be able to have extra players with you. And, you know, from what I heard, those extra players are going to be now again, this might not end up being the case, but I know one thing that was being talked about was you're on your AHL salary, but you're getting your NHL per diem. And so, and I would assume those won't be your prospects that really need to play. I would assume those are going to be more like veteran kind of players because you're going to want your prospects playing games, not sitting around in the taxi squad. But if the schedule is as tight as we've been led to believe it's going to be too set, like these guys are going to, they're not going to sit around. They're going to play. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to need rest. They may not play a ton of games, but you know, if let's say we play 50 games, I could see these guys playing, you know, 8 to 15 games.
Elliot Friedman joins us on Sportsnet 650. Change gears a little bit with you. Mm-hmm. There's you know, one of the things on NFL Twitter today. There's a couple guys kind of re-bringing up the Kirk Cousins back and forth. Basically, one of those guys that people say, hey, you know, this guy's actually pretty good. And he takes
was
way
it
too.
Was it Arash Madani?
It was not. We're aware of Arash's thoughts on Kirk Cousins, but
like I'm a Vikings fan too, and I'm like, come on, Arash, like give it a rest.
Yeah. Wow, it's an act. He has a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, he has
a reputation to uphold at this point. They could win the Super Bowl, and he would be the guy in the call-in show.
We could have won by more if we used the 80-year-old Fran Tarkenton at quarterback.
Got too close at the end. But we were gonna throw it to you. Like, who's that guy? So the take was, hey, this guy takes an undeserved amount of heat for being actually a pretty good player. Have we kind of moved past that with some guys in the NHL? Who do you think takes more heat than they deserve in the National Hockey League?
Well, I really like, he's retired now, but I always thought, you know, for a long time, Luongo got it a lot worse than he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Like in your city, I thought the Luongo hate was ridiculous for a long time. The Sedins, I thought, were treated terribly for a long time. And that wasn't just in Vancouver. I think that was all around the league. People didn't respect how good they were. So those are three names that, you know, are right off the top of my list. In the league right now, that's a good question.
Fans are so hyper aware of the salary cap right these days that if you get paid a dollar too much or your production dips a little bit, I think a lot of fans can confuse sometimes a guy making too much money with a guy that's a bad player. It's not necessarily the same thing.
Well, you know one guy who I look at now and I think he's a really good player. He hasn't been as good as he has been in the past, but I still think he's a really good player who makes a lot of money, who I think gets ripped apart much more than he deserves, is Drew Doughty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think Drew Doughty's a good one. And as far as other defensemen go, I think Tyson Barrie's another guy who's probably not as bad as people think he is based on how last season went. I don't think as bad as people think he is.
Last year was a bad year. It just it didn't work. It didn't work with Babcock. It didn't work in Toronto. It just didn't work. But, you know, the thing is, like okay, so this is another good Vancouver argument. So this year, the Calder, Makar versus Hughes. And so I voted for Hughes, and I voted Makar second. And I had a GM on a U.S. team who said it called me up, and he said it should have been Makar. And I think you voted for Hughes first because Canadian bias. And this is a guy I got along with really well. So we can have these conversations and nobody gets offended. And I said to him, it works both ways. Like if you play in Canada and I see you as much as I try to watch the Canadian teams, you're either better than you think, then you're probably either elevated more than you are, or you're ripped apart worse than you deserve to be. Like, I think that Canadian confirmation bias stat works both ways. I think it makes players better or worse than they really are. And so I said to him this year, like, I'm not backing down from my selection of Hughes. I thought he was 100% the right choice. But I would also tell you that I guarantee that there have been guys who probably maybe have lost awards or not been treated as well because we saw them as much as we watched Quinn Hughes and the Vancouver Canucks this year. So I do think it works both ways.
So who's to blame for bias? How does Jose Theodore beat Jerome Iginla for the Hart back in the day? How did that?
Yeah, you can't hang that one on me. That was before I voted. Well, one person left Iginla off their ballot.
Yeah, it was a Montreal guy. Yeah,
like that's bad. Like, yeah. I remember there's a guy and. He was a writer in Minnesota, and his name, Lavelle Neal. And I remember one year he had a vote, and I can't remember what his vote was, but he left somebody off a ballot, and people went crazy. I think it was him. I think he was the guy. And I give him credit. Like, he did every interview. And then there was a guy from a New York paper, and he left a guy off the ballot. So I think it cost, like, Pedro Martinez the MVP. And he was like, I don't care. Screw you all. I'm not justifying it to anyone. But I'm just a big believer in, like there are some people in the NHL who don't like that these ballots are public. The one thing I feel is, like, you can't complain about a lack of accountability. Like, everybody knows who you voted for. So I do like that about it.
In 1999, just to refresh you, Lavelle Neal, working for the Star Tribune, left Pedro Martinez completely off the MVP ballot. And and it ended up going to Pod Rodriguez, and Martinez lost a very close race.
I think the other guy who did that year, check this, Andrew, check the name George King from the New York Post.
Yeah. There was two guys, and they both had him outside of their top 10. But their belief was it shouldn't go, it's not a pitcher award, it's a Cy Young award. So there was actually a little merit to that.
But I don't know if I believe there's merit to that.
At least they had a reason, yeah.
But the best thing about that is, like Lavelle Neal, who I don't know. Like, I don't know him at all. But he did, like, every interview. Like, everyone who called him, he went on their radio show or newspaper interview, and he answered the questions. And George King, and I had a funny exchange once with George King, or I was witness to a hilarious exchange with George King where he got into it with a TV guy. And he basically, people called him and he was like, screw you, I don't care what you think. It was pretty funny. Someday I can't tell you guys the exchange I witnessed with George King on the air, but oh my God, was it funny. It was one of my favorite stories.
See, two different ways the road goes. That's kind of like Sat and my Twitter account. And I know I've opened Pandora's box because now we're getting texts on the text line. And people are combing through your Twitter and sending us basically every member of our competition whom you follow on social media and do not follow.
Well,
I'm trying to think.
Like, I think I only follow one.
Yeah, I'm looking at least three here. So, anyways,
okay,
I'm just saying it hurts.
Remember.
It hurts a little bit. That's all right.
Sorry, man. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well. What are you going to do?
I do have to say this. This is the one thing I do love about Vancouver, that the audience is going through and checking to see who they are. I think that is why that we are employed, because people in Vancouver are like that. I think that's great.
Yeah, just make sure.
And it's great that you recognize that and vote for Quinn Hughes for defenseman of the year.
I have fought with the people of Vancouver before, but I recognize that passion is what keeps us employed.
The passion that unites us all, I believe, is the phrase. Oh, real quickly, you're a betting man. Are you one of the 91% of the public who got backdoored last night by the Eagles?
No, you know what? I didn't last night. I did not like the Eagles at all. I didn't bet them, but I bet on. I did win one last night because I had a touchdown scorer that came in big for me. Moore, the first guy.
Oh, wow.
I bet on
him. Wow.
The reason I bet on him.
For first touchdown?
I did because remember in their first drive, they gave him the ball on fourth down. The play didn't work.
Yeah. The worst play ever. Yeah.
Yes. The horrendous play. So it was so bad you thought that the Chargers called it from home. but like I said, if they're giving that guy the ball near the goal line on that play, they must be looking for him. So I put a couple bucks on him as the first touchdown scorer, and that one came through.
That is smart. Good on you.
Well,
good on you.
Are we sure that Elliot's not following Bick? Because Bick said that on Twitter.
He's like,
now he's going to score two touchdowns.
Follows Bick Nazar, not us. You know, BS. Yeah.
Well, I would follow Bick because he's a lot smarter than you two guys.
Well, yeah. No argument.
That's actually
there.
That's actually pretty true.
Hey, thanks, Elliot.
I wanted to tell you guys that our pool has adopted. Remember when we were on, I was bitching about the tanking, and you told me about the guy who texted in about their pool, about
there's
a playoff for the first pick. We're adopting that starting next year. So thank you to you guys for pointing out to me, and thank you for the texter who made the suggestion.
Yeah, listeners coming through again, just like always.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the Wednesday morning game.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for it. My wife can pick my son up from school. I'm not missing
that. Elliot Freeman brought to you at Maui Jim Sunglasses. Use better from here.